Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello there. I'm Greg Lancaster, and the vibrating one. And you're listening to VFN, watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. Joining me is Pat Hamilton today.
Hello.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our viewers and listeners. We are so encouraged as we're getting feedback from those who are listening and being encouraged. Remember that the difference is we seek to give you a now word. We work tirelessly to make sure within moments of us hearing from God that we put it out. We don't have a time of production. So I just want to encourage you that when you're listening to and watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network, that we want you to hear as soon as we hear. We have no secrets. This is what Jesus told us. This is what the Lord told us. What I whisper in your ears, shout it from the rooftops. Mm. And some people say, well, why are you saying that? Why are you telling everybody? It's like, because that's what he told us to do. Because there was a day that the Lord would just begin to teach you. But all of a sudden, there comes a time when he says, now, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then he begins to say, now I want you to continually let it go. Everything that I'm telling you, I want you to let it go. And we're in the let it go season of what he's called us to do. And it's encouraging because somebody says, well, you know, when did you find this out? It's like, actually, all those times you were looking at me, and I was just going, He was saying it, but he didn't say share it yet.
Right.
And it's exciting to know that you can share, that there's hope. This is what the Lord says. He says, I call you my friend. Because I share with you everything. Think about that.
Yeah.
If you're a friend of the Lord and you're not a friend because you say you're a friend. You're a friend because you are a friend of God. You actually show yourself friendly to God. You abide with him. And you love him and love his. And so in that, he wants to share his heart with you. Of course, in that comes times of correction and all that. And that's the reason why Pat limps. You know, it's worth it, isn't it? Isn't the limp worth it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I cherish, and we will wear our limps with like as badges in heaven. Our scars will be badges in heaven. We went through something, you know?
Lots of wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. I almost didn't complain through that one either. It was amazing how that happened. It was totally, totally good. Well, I just want to tell you, you know, I remember when years ago when you spent your life watching Star Trek, was it Star Trek? Is that what it was back in the 1812s?
Yeah, way back.
Balcony back. And so then I remember going to you to your home. I think it was a commercial during your program or something. I don't know what it was. And you and Trace were intensely waiting for the program to come back on or something. I don't know what it was. And I'm just thinking, like, life has to have more meaning, guys, than this.
Right,
I remember sitting on your floor before I knew what your dog did.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you guys were on the couch.
Yeah,
we don't
sit on the floor. That
and I was leaning back with no telling what my hand was touching. Anyway, so I'm talking to you, and I said because a plane just went down, a jetliner just went down in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back when Canada was a country and America was a separate country. So you're probably hearing this now. We're America. Mexicana.
Yeah, I forget what they call it now.
And Amero. And so I'm talking to you. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we are going to talk. We have so many things we want to talk to you about. But this is what the Lord just laid on my heart, because I'm going to talk to you about some news in a moment, and it won't make sense. But I'll mention this. We're going to talk about, you know, we're ambassadors of Christ Jesus. What does God really feel that you have the right to do with your money, what you want to do with your money? We're going to talk about that because Jesus says something about that. And we're going to talk about hopefully the first, second, and third great awakening, what comes after that. And are you the dream? Are you the hero in all your dreams? Are you the hero in all your dreams and everybody else the villain? And so much more. But remember this, Pat.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm here.
What you messing with? No, I'm not. Anyway, so he's fixing stuff. So I was leaning back on on the floor, and y'all didn't even tell me. You didn't even tell me You didn't even tell me that your dog could not contain itself.
It wasn't my dog. I didn't claim that one.
Wash me, Jesus. And so yeah. Then I'm saying, you know, that jetliner went down in Canada. And the thing was, is, you know, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, 100,000+ at a minimum are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is that I had for you, remember what the question was?
Yeah, I do.
What was the question? What was the question?
Well, if well, you said if I was on that plane that went down.
In Canada. Everybody
died. Would I have any regrets?
This is right before Star Trek came on again.
Right, I was headed up TiVo'd, yeah.
That was before TiVo, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
not Tim Tebow.
Oh, I probably had a tape cassette in the thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You had a couple of months just writing down notes what happened. They're going to tell it to you. Sign it.
Yeah, I remember that question. And I had to be honest.
Yeah.
I had a lot of regrets. I would have at that point in my life.
And so many people today are where you were then. I mean, and obviously, would you have any regrets today?
Not one.
Not one. No, but the thing is that you're going to your gathering every single, at least once every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there. If you're watching me on Christian Television Network, you can see this. You're sitting there like this. I mean, really, seriously. And it's not that you don't care about the man or the lady speaking. It's not that you don't care about the people beside you. But you're on disconnect. Your spirit's going, what is this? And besides, I was up all last night watching Star Trek, so how am I going to be able to stay awake now?
Right.
I'm serious. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously, that was your addiction, you and Captain Kirk. But a lot of people are there. I mean, they may spend all night on the internet. And mm-hmm. I mean, you could look. It is amazing. If you go, if you get on the internet and you just look at, you go, okay, I'm going to find this YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
But then you type in youtube.com and then the front page YouTube comes up. You go, oh, what's that? And you click on that. You go, oh, that was funny. And then click, 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 click. 45 minutes later, it's like, what happened to 45? Do you know what I can do in 45 minutes for God?
No doubt.
And you know, I just watch kitten videos. <It's> like, did you see that cat jump and miss the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, you just see I mean, it's like I gotta,
wouldn't let the dog pass. Did you see those?
Oh Lord!
Oh my God! These
now
terrified
now
with
Star
dogs.
Trek. Now it's kitten videos. Yeah. Okay, so no, seriously. And I realized you got to take a hold of that because it will just pull you in,
mm-hmm.
and you're really doing nothing, even though your soul's kind of, you know, enjoying that. And every now and then you need a laugh. Listen to VFM Radio.
Yeah, really.
You can laugh with us all day long while you're learning, in many different ways. I'm sure people are laughing, and so. A lot of people right now, Pat, are like that,
mm-hmm.
and they're asleep. That's what that is. That's asleep. I mean, one of the most powerful moves in American history was going on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most powerful moves going on in history at that time. And John, who is out, by the way, with our sponsors and our businesses today, and we just thank you so much as we're getting feedback from you and how you are standing with us. Please visit our sponsors. Go to bfntv.com and visit our sponsors today. You can find out who they are, how to get a hold of them. But he ran into a particular student that was a student at BRSM, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, during the Brownsville Revival. And I'm not going to say his name out loud, mm-hmm. but we knew him back then. And the question he asked was, or he said was, you know, back then I totally didn't understand, you know, what God was doing. Why would God be doing anything else other than what was going on? I'm kind of paraphrasing mm-hmm. that instead of being defined. And then he says, when he looks at all those who were involved in what we were involved in then
mm-hmm.
and sees what they're involved in now, he says, I totally get it. I totally get it. I totally get what Greg was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and the thing about it, it didn't make sense to me, but it's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense today,
right.
But when God calls you to do something, you just got to follow God, and He'll take you on. You don't need a bungee jump when you're following God. Every day is a bungee jump.
That's all right.
You're looking over the edge, going, "How am I going to accomplish all this today, dear God?" Mm-hmm. And so, And so you, if you were to die today, but this is what I'm talking about today in the context of, this is how things are cranking up in Belgium today. The news is reporting today, CBN News is reporting, that they already have a law that they can euthanize, which is kill adults. Mm. I have seen Chris limping around here a little bit. We're kind of weighing things out. We don't know if we're going to lay him down or not.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all right.
It's like, walk straight. Can you imagine? I was just going to the chiropractor, and I was just at the throne of judgment. They gave me a shot, and I'm here. And so the question is, not today, well, even further than that, right now they're passing a law, according to CBN News, and you can see this on CBN News. They're passing a law. They've already passed half of their legislature already passed it. Mm-hmm. That you can children can be euthanized. Children can be killed. Not children in the womb. Mm-hmm. Children walking around can be killed. And they've already passed it. They say pretty much they're going to pass it. So they can kill you when you're old. Mm-hmm. They can kill you before you have a voice. And they can even kill you when you're young.
Wow.
And the question is today, if you were to be euthanized today, so you think you're not going to ride planes, so you're not going to die. But you could, the future where we're going, I just read this book this year, Dr. Dobson's Father. I think it's called Fathering or Father. It's a good mm-hmm. book. Talks exactly about it. I mean, it was just like, he's talking to God and somebody else about what's going on. And it was the legislature in this whole story. The story was, they don't have any more nursing homes. They don't have any more assisted living facilities. You just go check in, but you never check out.
Oh, wow.
And they just kind of, put on fantasy music, inject some sort of serum into your arm, and make you watch a Saints game as you fade out.
That'd be tragic.
It has to be a rerun of a Super Bowl. And so so it's not today, because you're thinking you can predict the end of your life, but right now, Satan is working overtime to end human life on the face of this earth. Overtime. He's not waiting for a plane crash or a bus crash or a car crash or you just to die of what, something going on, but he's wanting to take you out while you still have all this wisdom as an older folks, an older man, or old man or woman, and as a child before you even have a voice in the womb. And now they're fixing to pass, Belgium's about to pass, so you can kill you as a child. Mm. If the child thinks, the question should stop right there. The question should stop right there. If a mm-hmm. child thinks, but the rest of it is that they want to be euthanized, then they should. It's like, have you raised children? She comes home from school thinking she wanted to be euthanized that day because Jimmy told her he didn't love her anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How many children wouldn't make it? One of the lead causes of suicide, age groups of suicides are teenagers.
Right.
You're going to have teenagers lining up for some law like that because they got their feelings hurt or somebody hated them on Facebook. Just euthanize me. No, honey, don't think. We're your parents. We're going to help you get through this. Believe me, it gets worse that you can get through this kind of stuff. All kinds of people are going to talk about you. Look. And so this is the question I have for you today. Years ago, back before I had gray hair and had hair, and I sat on his living room poo floor, and as he was waiting for Star Trek to come back on again, I asked the question, back when Saints fans were wearing bags, NFL football team, I asked him the question because the jetliner went down to Canada. If you were in that aircraft and you crashed today and you're dead, because you see, this is what happens. The moment you die, your body dies, you're standing before the presence of the Lord and you're answering for your life. The question is, when you're standing before the throne of God, will you have any regrets? At that time, he had a ton of regrets. But let me tell you something. I know for a fact, this man only has two regrets. He has no regrets at all. He's a Saints fan. He doesn't. He's laid it all down. He's laid it all down. So is his wife, Tracy. And they've lived their life for God. And what a beautiful thing, because it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. How about you? Are you going to continue there with your head bobbing every once a week, trying to get to your next TV episode, try to go to your next hunting trip, do whatever else, just kind of entertain yourself and say, you know what? God, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm truly going to be a follower of you. I'm going to live my life with no regrets. If they were to euthanize you today, child, babe, adult, would you have any regrets?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can faith-based groups lawfully meet in a privately owned facility? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We just recently, in our little senior housing group, started a little singing Christian worship on Sunday afternoon. Well, we were informed that it is illegal because the land was donated by the state and going through the Constitution separation of church and state, that it is illegal for us to worship or gather as a singing group or anything as far as Christianity is concerned.
That's absolutely incorrect. There's not a prohibition that says basically if you are a Christian group or meeting as Christians and for praise and worship that all of a sudden now you're excluded from a facility that somehow has governmental involvement in it. That's just not the law. Let me get you in touch, Patsy, with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help on this situation right away.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back. Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
You asked them students, they got healed. Yeah, they got healed. God healed them. Yeah, God been praying. And I told my boss, I don't regret none of it. I said, this is who I am. I ain't going back down for who I am. They think I'm a compromise. I will not compromise. I'm all about God, brother. I ain't compromising one bit. Yeah, I prayed for her. Yeah, and I pray for the next one, too. Yeah, I told him. I said, I don't regret none of it.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas out there to everyone, all of our listeners and viewers, VFN TV on Christian Television Network and VFN Radio audience across the world. Joining me is Pat, and I'm Greg. If you're wondering what that was, that actually it was an employee of Rutgers University. It was not a bug. It was a segment that we played, and he was saying he got fired because he was praying. Mm-hmm. And he was explaining, like, hey, I'll pray all day long. You know, and so that's a powerful thing, and you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. If you missed the earlier part, you got to catch it. We're going to be talking about pretty prominent things. We're trying to look at what's happening in the news today about, first of all, about being ambassadors. We may go right into, in the beginning of this first program, does God feel you, have the right to do what we want to do with our money? That's a big thing. Mm. Because right now they're talking about redistribution of other people's money to me.
Right.
But if you realize what's going on, it has nothing to do, by the way, just so you understand this, It's not coming to you. It's going to go to the world, because the pile of the poorest person in America, the poorest person in America, and everybody talks poor in America, but everybody's richer than the world, is richer than 80% of the population of the world. So when you hear redistribution of wealth and you didn't build that, it's deeper than the thin veneer of 200 and some odd years of America's existence. It has to do with the world economy and just kind of God humbling a nation and just kind of pulling down their walls and letting everything pour out. It's like taking the sides off of your above ground pool and the wall, and America just pours out over the face of the earth. But the question is, you know, whatever God wants. And this is so important. When you're talking to folks, this is what you should ask them first. Don't go religious or anything like that, because it's evil. But ask this question before you even start talking about anything. People who profess to be a believer, ask them the question, okay, before we say anything, before we express our views and what we believe God is saying, up front, if you find out that God does not think the same way you think, and he would want you to change the way you're doing things, and we don't even know what that is yet, but he wants you to say, no, that's not the way you're supposed to do it, you're wrong, this is the way you need to do it, would you be willing to do that? And pause, give them the time to think, because if they say no, you saved yourself about a good 30 minutes conversation that's not going to go nowhere. And if they say yes, both of you guys begin to talk and pray about, what does God say? Begin to search his word out. But most people don't ask that question, but that is their belief. They're just trying to convince you, sell you on the fact of what they want God, how God to be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, I'm okay with that. That's how you feel. But let me know up front. And so you should ask that question before you start about anything. I might talk about finance, before you talk about marriage, before you talk about family, before you talk about anything. And pause, give people, because people will quickly just go, yeah. And you got to you say it again. Like, let me say it again. If, in fact, everything you ever thought about God was wrong, and you find that out in this discussion, and God reveals that to you, would you be willing to totally forget everything you've ever known and turn to God? Or part of what you have known, turn to God? I mean, that's like, hey. And what that is like, hey, humility. Mm-hmm. Because if it's of God, it's of God. I mean, why would God tell you something different? You'll be surprised how your life will change when you ask yourself that question. Before you pick up your Bible today, all 3%, before you pick up your Bible, all 17%, according to George Barna, that pick their Bibles up and read them in America. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself the question, before I pick this up, am I just going to do my religious duty so I could have my bragging rights that I read my two chapters and talked at God today? Or am I willing to do, if God speaks to me in his word and he tells me this is how marriage should be, this is how finance should be, this is how ministry should be, this is how I should be as a man, this is how I should be as a woman. I mean, if he speaks to me today, would I change my life according to it? And if you say no, or I will if, then you just put it back down. Don't fool yourself, because God's not your God. Jesus is not your Lord. He said, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. And so then you know where to start from. You know, it's okay, I have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I made him a religious figure, and I kind of built him into an idol of how I want God to be, but I'm not letting God tell me who he is. And this is so important, because you look and you think, how could they build these false gods and worship them back last week? Well, yesterday. And the thing about it is how often do people build a false Jesus? They build a false thing about all these different aspects about him. He doesn't say all that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say that at all. And so it's like, okay, am I willing? And so what happens is, we're going to talk about his finances. What does God say about finances? And he has a lot to say about finances. And the sad thing about it is, a lot of people in America who minister used things that God has said about finances for their own personal gain. Realize this, God knows that. God knows what's going on. Of all the things that this particular minister in Africa, when he died and he went straight, and he could see a big lake of fire, and he saw a lot of people in the fire, and mm-hmm. but he saw a lot of ministers,
right?
And which means Matthew 7 is true.
Mm-hmm.
People who ministered the name of God, they were in the fire, and they were saying to him, give the money back, give the money back, give the money back. That should make you think. And then he came, then they prayed for him, and he came back, and the first thing he said was, I need to give you something back.
Yeah, right.
But think of all the things you could hear, because money, you have to understand, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is, period, period. And the thing about it, God says, listen, I'll give you everything. You just need to honor me in the area of finances. But what does he say about that? We're going to talk about this in our next program, four programs back to back. Don't forget, we go right into it after this program. We're going to talk about what does God say about our finances? Can we do whatever we want to with it? And he specifically talks about this is what the kingdom of God is like. And he talks about a man and his money. He talks about a man and his money. And so we're going to learn from the red letters. What did Jesus say? What did he say in the context of this? Join us today, back to back, four programs on VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, Christian Television Network. And a big shout out to Copy Products Company. Thank you so much for all the services you've been providing for years. Many locations, you can go to VFNTV.com, visit our sponsors, and find out more about Copy Products. Your copying, scanning, digital data, so many different needs they can meet for you. VFNTV.com and say, visit our sponsors.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you,
mm-hmm.
it'll change your life because he is the word.
Restoring the purity in giving. Giving without regret. Imagine having a wonderful time of being able to celebrate others and to be able to get them gifts and go through a gift-giving season and it to be all said and done and all you have is good memories. No regret, no debt, no 5 years to pay it off. Listen, we have to get a right perspective of giving again. We have to understand it's supposed to be a good experience. We have to restore the purity in giving today. A special offer available this week to you at VFNTV.com. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer, an offer of any amount, and it could be yours. I encourage you, get it now, listen to it, so that you can truly restore the purity in giving, and you'll be giving without regret this Christmas season.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're
keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We are coming to you fresh today, giving you hopefully a perspective, a light, L-I-G-H-T perspective of what's taking place in society, what's taking place in our day-to-day life, to be able to give seeking God's will for us in today's time. And if you missed the earlier program, you need to you got to hear it, because the question is, will you have regrets when your life is over? And you never know when your life is over. Will you have regrets? And we're finding out they're actually approving euthanasia, the killing of children. You have killing of children in the womb, killing of children that already are born, and the killing of adults. Euthanasia was what they call you. They call it a little neat word, like taking you out.
Right.
Killing you when you're alive is called euthanasia. And in the womb, it's called abortion. But God just calls it murder, right?
Yeah.
He calls it murder or suicide, where you're choosing to actually do it. So the question we have now, we're going to talk about, because this is before us continually, and we're going to be talking also, hopefully today, in our four programs back to back, is, you know, ambassadors. What does it mean to be an ambassador? You know, ambassadors are really important. What do embassies mean, and why do we have them, and how important are they, and how much do we struggle as a nation when we don't have ambassadors in a place and we don't have embassies in a place, and then how God has called us to be ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And but first I want to talk about this is the question, because you're hearing so many people talk about, you know, redistribution of wealth, you know, redistribution of money. And they're hearing people say, you know, I don't have enough money. They have a whole bunch of money. They should give it to me. And some people are saying, yeah, that's right. It's the right thing. That's what Jesus would do. You know, WWJD, he would definitely do that. And and some other people are saying, well, no, you know, Jesus is a capitalist, which, by the way, I doubt very seriously. He's a capitalist.
Right.
You know, he's just God blesses the work of your hand. It wasn't what you did, it's what God did. But I'm not saying he definitely wasn't a communist or socialist. He's totally outside of your realm of economy, what you think. So relax, I'm not going political here. But, you know, the question is, does God feel you or we have the right to do what we want to do with our own money? I mean, most people just say, yeah. But let's just see what Jesus, let's just pause for a moment, because this is a big issue today. And when I was spending some time with the Lord this morning in his word, I was looking at Matthew chapter 20, when he's talking about the parable. He says the kingdom of God is explaining it, and he uses a businessman. So this is perfect for us to understand the heart of God. This is Jesus, who said nothing and did nothing unless he heard the creator of the universe, his father, say it or do it. So when we're reading the letters, these red letter words, we're reading Jesus when he's talking about a business owner, we can learn a lot from his perspective. I mean, he talks a lot about business and finance, but this is just one particular area. And by the way, I do not believe that, I know for a fact that he's not a liar nor a man that he would lie, that he would change his mind, nor does he tell us a parable with a lie in it.
Right.
So this is my presumed understanding of this, that we're about to read truth. The question is, what does this truth mean to what we're talking about? The question is, does God say we can do what we want to with our money? And so this is what he said. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's talking about those that call themselves believers, that are in the king's dominion. Jesus is my Lord. He's my king. So in this parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. This is a man who owns this land, a business. He's a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. In other words, he has a business and he wants to hire some folks. So he's going to go, these people who don't even know he even exists right now. So he's going to go out and he says, listen, I got a need. I got a business. I'm going to hire. And this is the kingdom of God is like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some people I want to be able to, I need to I got an occupation for somebody. I got a job for them, and I want to go find somebody who wants this. And this, and notice in this parable, you have to have a desire to work there. I mean, so many people act like they're being kidnapped and their families being held hostage while they're at work, and they're just reluctantly doing their job. And it's like, hey, there's people climbing over the borders that would take your job in a heartbeat.
It sure would.
And I don't blame them for doing it. If you don't want it, why don't we give it to the other man and woman created in God's image? And so this is what Jesus is saying. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a business owner or a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day and sent them to work, sent them in his vineyard. In other words, he agreed to, this is what we're going to pay you. He didn't say, you know, what is the federal standard? He didn't say, you know, what do the unions tell me I should pay, you know, now that I have a business, I have people unionizing against me. I mean, he didn't consider that. This is God. We're talking about, and we're not talking about anybody who's not following the Lord. We're not talking about that. This is to people who say, I am a Christian and I'm a Christ follower and I want to follow the ways of Jesus. And this is Jesus talking to us. So we're okay with this. We want to know. So you have a businessman. He owns a business. He went out early in the morning. He went to go hire some folks to work in his business, this vineyard. He agreed to pay them a certain amount of money. And this is what the kingdom of God is like. So we're finding out, can we do with our money what we want to do? And so, and he says, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace. In other words, he found some people at Starbucks. I mean, he did, but I'm just going to give our present-day analogy. At Starbucks, doing nothing. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
At about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw other people standing in the marketplace doing nothing. That's what we consider a vacation now, right?
Yeah, right.
What do you do? I just nothing. And so this is Jesus talking about business and money. So he told them, the ones doing nothing that he found in the marketplace, you also go and work at my company. You also go work at my vineyard. And I will pay you whatever is right. So the first person, he said, I'll pay you a certain amount. The second one, he says, I'll pay you whatever's right. So he's the owner of this company. This is what Jesus is talking about. So he's determining what wages he's going to pay. This is important. Now, you're going to find out some of his workers are going to try to start a union here, but he's going to respond to them in a moment. They're going to unionize against Jesus, right? So they went out and began to do it. And he went out again about noon. He went out about noon and about three. So at noon and three, he went out in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? And they said, because no one has given us a job. No one's hired us, they answered. So he said to them, you go also and you can work in my company. I mean, look, this is like, wow. There was a day that a man like that or a woman like that who went around giving people jobs in their community, everybody would just be thankful for that person. They would, it's just the fact that you gave me a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an honor to for somebody to say, you know, you can work here. And nobody, and think about it, and they're all hired at different times of the same day, and they were all, you know, only the original folks was hired at a specific dollar amount. Everybody else was like, they didn't even know how it was going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't know. And that's the way it used to be. You just didn't know. They used to tell you, don't discuss salaries with anybody, because there's different reasons why you pay different folks different things in these mm-hmm. big companies or whatever. So this is what he said. He said, when evening came, this is Jesus talking, and the question we're asking ourselves is, does God say we can do what we want to do with our own money? When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, in other words, the owner of the company said to the one who was running the business, call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired, which is around 3 o'clock, I believe it was. Even though late past that, some more. And go into the first. In other words, the very last one that walked in the door, the junior dude, the one who has no seniority, hello union folks, who has no seniority, I want you to pay them first. And the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius, which is the same amount of money that he agreed to pay the other ones. But remember, he didn't tell anybody else that he was going to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
He just told the first ones when they agreed to that. And so the very most senior people in your office, in your business, this is the scenario, got paid the same thing you get paid. I mean, they just got there. Mm-hmm. They just got there. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more because of seniority, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Right.
But each one of them also received the denarius. They received the same thing. When they received it, they began to grumble and protest and unionize. No, they began to grumble and protest against the business owner, the landowner. These who were hired last worked only an hour, they said. And you have made them equal with us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day? Don't you know who built this company? They didn't build that. We built that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
This is Jesus talking now. And how does God see us as people, individual business owners, you know, whatever? Can we do what we want to do with our money? I mean, how is he okay? Is he okay with that? Because people are saying, God says, give your money away. God says, you know, let the unions tell you what to do with your money. This is what people are saying, but this is what Jesus is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, this man answered them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? When I hired you and I said, this is what I'm going to pay you, didn't you say, okay? Do you remember those humble days when you showed up shaking and trembling with your briefcase and your polyester suit and didn't know nothing and said, asked you the question, you know, tell me about yourself. And somebody says, you know, I'm a people person. It's like, I'm a people person. Like, you're trying to kill all the folks here in the office right now. I'm a people person. And then he says, take your pay and go. Take your pay and go. I want to give to the one who was hired last the same thing that I gave you. And this is what Jesus said. Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Don't I have a right to do with what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. And this is what I want to talk about. What you have today is a big spirit of envy going across the land. They know it's not right. They know that they were hired for a certain wage. They know that. They're just trying to get theirs. And they want what someone else has. And Jesus is saying that kind of mindset is somebody who has an envious heart. But the truth is, he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he gives the comparison. Okay, let's use a business example. The person who runs that business and owns that business can do what they want to with them. I understand that you've created regulations now and you've got unionized and you're forcing all these folks to pay you money and guarantee you stuff. And, you know, understand this. As a Christian, that's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, you should submit to your boss as unto the Lord, even when he's not even looking. As a Christian, you should work and be the even if it's Joseph and they're not even paying you, you should work so hard and so well that they see that you're working for God because God will reward you. He doesn't say protest outside. He doesn't say unionize against. And understand, we're going to talk more about this after the break, but God's specifically telling us, Jesus, who we claim to be followers, Christ followers, right? Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us this is what it's like. This is the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he says, don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money, or have you just been envious because I'm generous? We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. In my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, "That one is going to cost you." And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom. And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
Get on the right side. And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But
right. I'm sure he thought it.
Wash me, Jesus. Think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me. Christ the Lord, the
newborn. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas out there to all of our listeners and viewers and Christian Television Network audience and VFN Radio across the world. Joining me, of course, is Pat Hamilton. We are talking about, if you missed it, what does God say about our finances? Make sure you catch that. Can we do what we want to do with our finances and our money? And we just found out the kingdom of heaven, Jesus begins to explain, this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling us, yeah, you can. And when you understand that just because a business owner or a person, individual, God says you can do what you want to with your money, does not mean what they're doing is godly. But it does mean God's not going to control someone. He's not going to force someone to do something. They have to choose to do what they're doing. And so when I think about that, I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, when Paul's talking here to the church of Corinth, he said, each one of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give. So this, the parable of the kingdom and the business owner, and can we do what our own money is? It's what that man, that particular man in that scenario that Jesus was explaining, he was doing what was in his heart to do. He was giving to the workers what he decided, because the first one, he determined the wage. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them, he just didn't know what he was going to do. And that's so empowering, by the way. If you just let go and you say, I don't know right now. Please just give me a while. I need to soak on this. I need. Somebody says, what would you have said? I don't know. You should have asked me one at that moment, because maybe God would have revealed to me something, or maybe not. I would have told you what was on my heart at the time. But he tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because of the, you're being unionized against. For God loves a cheerful giver. Understand that even to give unto God, He does not force us to do this. It doesn't mean what we're doing is right with our finances. It doesn't mean, according to what George Barna says, that 97% of regular church attenders that go at least once every 2 weeks are not giving to God his tithes and offerings, which God says this is what you should do to be blessed. God's not, like, you know, taking us out because of it. It could take you out, you know, if your heart's not with God. But understand, he's not, just because he's waiting to see what choices that we make, and then he's honoring the decisions that we make. He doesn't say we have a right as an employee to force our employer to do anything. He or she says, this is the expectations. If you're going to be here, this is what's going to happen here. And you have the right to go somewhere else if you want to. And even if the fact you're in some other country other than America, and many people don't have a right to go somewhere else, God would say, even if you don't have a right to go somewhere else, still function in the context of the order that's established there. But in America, you can choose somewhere else. It's just, it's a blessed nation right now that you can find other work if you want to find other work. And so this owner of this business could do and pay what he wanted to pay. But they began to organize against him, this owner. He's given the scenario. So he confronted them. He said, listen, don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you just envious of what I'm, how generous I am? And God's very generous. And we have to understand that, listen, you know, right now we have so, in the name of, and this has happened since the beginning of time, but definitely since Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the enemy comes in and twists, you know, the meaning of what God says. And Paul talks about it. They twist God's word and argue over things and that type of thing. But the truth is, God's God. God is your provider. And you work what's right with the context of where your employment's at, trusting God to provide for you, not for you to force your employer, not for you to organize. And you might not even have a union in your office or your business officially, but you know you unionize around the coffee pot. You know that you unionize around the Christmas party. You know you guys talked and y'all put a whole thing together and you press that company to go a certain way. Now listen, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christ follower, you know, that's your hope for increase. But if you call yourself a Christian, Jesus is saying that's not how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to force anybody to do anything. We just have to honor their decision, whatever decision they make. Life is like that. And so if you have a business and you choose to pay your employees certain wages, then that's what you pay them. You shouldn't feel guilty or ashamed. You should be upfront. This is how it is. You know, this is how it's going to be. And I'll help you transition into something else if you can't be here. But this is how it's going to be here. And it's okay for you to confront that and just say, listen, I'm generous. This is what I'm going to do. And y'all should have been talking about it anyway, because you should have been just, our agreement was this with you. Mm-hmm. But as a Christian, what kind of shame are we bringing on the cross and on Jesus when we sit here and we're marching back and forth in front of some man's business or some woman's business saying, you need to raise our wages, when there's the rich, the poorest person in America is richer than 80% of the world, 80% of 7 billion folks, which means middle class and above is probably richer than 3%, the top 3% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That is like great expectations from God, who's been very generous to us. How can we not say, you know what, God, I want to operate financially the same way you want me to operate? And he says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he says, now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So he gives us things in our life, and understand what we have in our life, we should sow. But it's something we do it because we want to do it. We give God and obey God in every area of our life, or seek to obey him in one area, is in the financial area. But it's not forced to happen. You want to know you're doing this willingly. You're giving God his tithes and your offerings with a willing heart. And that's a beautiful, fragrant offering before God. So the question is, based on what Jesus says here, do you have the right to do whatever you want to do with your money, ever how you want to do it? And the answer is yes. Can people who don't follow God and use things to manipulate folks organize against that? Yes, they can. How do you handle that? You personally, no matter what's happening in your office, your business, your corporation, don't get involved in that. Just stand rightly before God, honor God with his finances that he's entrusted you with, and know that he will take care of you. Even if it means another job, he will take care of you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially, that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch,
Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.